kind of work makes people pathologically feel a little better.
Well, not that I think those few words were important, but thanks for the future. Thank you. So I must ask, of course, first of all, for the apologies.
I haven't received any formal apologies from any member.
Right, thank you. We then look at the agenda that we've got before us. I think we're all well aware there's just one focus today, and we've got everyone on board here. Thank you very much. Perhaps we can start off with a very brief input by the drafters. Just a brief input here on the latest draft of the IP bill. Is that in order? Are you going to lead us, Advocate van der Merwe?
Thank you, Chairperson. I believe everyone should be in position of a new draft, and then that should probably be called IP18. The amendments that we've affected are mainly things that were agreed to affect last night, or yesterday. Apologies for that, yesterday. If we can start, and I've amended them in green again, so we again have a tri-colour document. On page 2, if I can start there with the green, that was just a consequential amendment that we've missed before in respect of there not being traditional performances anymore. So that we've just corrected there. Then page 5. On page 5, the definition of artistic work, and that pulls through to a number of other definitions, which I will point out as I page. What we have done here is, according to Ms. Shabangu's proposal, that we don't include traditional works in folklore, but that we include folklore in traditional works. We have amended these definitions of artistic work, of dramatic work, etc., to say that it includes traditional works. When we get to the definition of traditional works, you will then note that there we've included expressions of folklore. So I think that could assist with the argument that we might fall foul of WIPO if we don't mention folklore, because we now have it in. So that was affected on page 5 in respect of artistic work. Apologies. Then on page 6, we've included a definition of the Copyright Act, simply to try wherever we can to delete some words from this bill. So because we're using the Copyright Act in the performance protection, the designs and trademarks so often, we've decided that it might be good to put in a definition and that you don't have to every time say Section 6 of the Copyright Act, you know, 1978 Act, this or that. So we've now defined it and then we could delete all those references just to make it read a little bit easier. And then you will see on page 6, the council just below, that would be the type of deletion. So instead of saying Copyright Act 1978, Act number 98 of 1978, we will now just say the Copyright Act. Okay. On page 7, that is the similar amendment to dramatic works, using the word traditional works rather than folklore. On page 8, we've then deleted the definition of folklore because we will now include that into traditional works. On page 9, literary and musical works, exactly the same amendment there. On page 11, that is where traditional work now includes expressions of folklore. So then works of joint authorship, apologies, that is exactly the same amendment, changing traditional works, rather changing folklore for traditional works. The next amendment, if you'll just bear with me, I think there's now a number of pages without, is on page 22. Dealing with disputes, and here we have made the provision for the appeal, as we've discussed yesterday. The next amendment is on page 27, in respect of Indigenous community, the definition there on page 27, adding the words all areas. We have also just read the definition a bit and thought that the word exist should rather be existed, because when we talk about the Intellectual Property Laws Amendment Act, we will be referring backwards when we actually use the act. So that might make more sense. And then we just corrected a little typo there in respect of the amendment of the Amendment Act being in small caps and should be in capital. On page 28, subsection C of the definition of indigenous cultural expression or knowledge, we have there, as we discussed yesterday, deleted rituals and sacred places and places the location where which is not fixed, and Johan's daughter's new name, we've also kept deleted, and substituted that for expressions of spirituality or religion. Now, I think we need to keep it like that, because if he wants to name his daughter, it would be bad if it's in an act. And then at the bottom, subsection D, we've just included the expressions of sacred places so that it is not a place, that is, because a place, we said, cannot be performed. The next amendment then is on page 32, dealing with section 28B, subsection 5, and this deals with the request that where any person deals with a community, that where there is a protocol, that protocol must be used. So the wording that we've used was not that there must be a protocol, because that's what we understood from Prof. Ntuli, was not something that we should impose on a community, but from Dr. von Braun's side, where the community protocol does exist, this will then come into play in any interaction with the community. That is on page 32, section 28B, subsection 5. The next amendment is on page 37, subsection 3, and this was actually more just to correct the reading of the subsection. How it read before is it started with the green line. If the work is a traditional work and A, B, C, and then it had the top bit, the ownership of the copyright conferred. So we just brought that up so that the section reads a little bit better. The next amendment is on page 41. This is section 28G, subsection A. That or after page 41, section 28G, subsection 2A, the word or after there should not have been there. We have inserted it before and then deleted it, but this one slipped in. So we found it and we've deleted it. Then we've put in a section there below B, which I will explain to this committee, but I will ask that when we get to the section that we park it until after T, so that between the drafters we can just discuss something further on it. Advocate Stratum has received further instructions from DTI which might necessitate us to do something different with this, but I will explain what it's about. There was a concern yesterday that we might be creating we might have a copyright that exists at the moment that is after this bill commences will then be known as a derivative copyright in a derivative indigenous work, and the question was whether that creates two rights. Now, as I have said, in practice, I don't think that will be the case, but this section could perhaps assist just to clear that. So what we are saying here is that, say, for the obligations of having to go to the community and enter into a benefit-sharing agreement, as well as the obligation of paying a royalty, this right that exists at the moment, that owner will continue to hold the right in this manner before this, that is holding it at the moment. In other words, before this act is, this bill is coming into operation. So exactly as it is now, as it's being held at this point in time, that is how it will be continued, that is how it will continue to be held. The only impact from this bill's side will be the obligation to do the benefit sharing agreement and royalties. But like I say, we would like to just, between the drafters, just do a little bit more work before we deliberate on that one. Then subsection 3 on the same page, that was the decision to extend the period for which this person has to approach the community. And then the green there at the bottom is just to make sure that if this person waits 12 months, that does not mean that royalties and benefits will stay 12 months. And perhaps at this point in time, I can also just add that we've also added and benefits wherever royalties comes into play, or where it should read, you know, either or, it could be or and, you know, we've added a little sentence to that, but I will point that out when that happens. In subsection 4, we simply had Copyright Act there, but this is the Copyright Act, so we've just amended that to read this Act. And then on page 42 is exactly what I was talking about the royalty and the benefit. In subsection 5 there, we say, shall pay a royalty or a benefit. And then the question comes up, but what if it's a royalty and a benefit? So we have or, both such royalty and benefit. So we've provided for all the options in that regard. On page 43, section 28H, subsection 2B, we've just deleted that. I think that deletion there in green was already there before. It's the comma that should be added there. Actually, not deleted, but added. And without payment of royalty, again, a benefit or both royalty and benefit. And then that is what we've done on all the amendments on this page, subsection 3 and subsection 3B. So that is simply a repeat of that. On page 44, they were simply corrected in subsection 4 there, a cross-reference. We just redid our cross-references and made sure that we're still referring to the correct section. So that one we just made sure that we're referring to subsection 4 of section 28G. And then at the bottom in subsection 5, again, benefit or both, royalty and benefit. The title of National Trust and Fund, I think that was an oversight before, because that was a change we amended actually before. I think we forgot to take that green out before. Apologies for that. On page 46, again, in subsection 6, simply to add benefits. The same in subsection 8 at the bottom, to add benefits. Going over onto page 47, benefits being added, and subsection 9, benefits being added. The next big amendment is again on page 49, section 28K, subsection 6. This is the addition of the appeal clause, where we add an appeal to this alternative dispute resolution process. The next big change then is on page 54, in respect of international agreements. What we have done here is we have taken section 37 of the Copyright Act, and we have to a great extent transplanted it. So section 37 will start, the minister may by notice in the Gazette provide. So that comes from the Copyright Act as it stands. The Copyright Act then prescribes in respect of what and who the minister may make this notice. But that deals with other works and other people. So we have kept here the issues that we had before, as was recommended by the Institute for IP Law. So we kept that the community may be identified, that the traditional work may be compared to what we have. So that was just to make it applicable to traditional works. And then clause 4 at the bottom, subsection 4, apologies, on page 55, this is also exactly the wording except that we've changed copyright in a traditional work. Sorry, I see there's a typing error. It should be in traditional work. In subsection 4, the last line, this will be given to owners of copyright in traditional works under this Act, not me. This section, again, comes from the Copyright Act. It's exactly word for word what is currently in the Copyright Act. And simply what it says is that the minister shall not issue a notice where there is this convention giving this right to other countries. You shall only issue that notice where there is such a convention. But if he feels that there could be some other provision in a country, in their laws, which even though they're not a party to the convention, their laws will provide protection to South African indigenous knowledge, he can offer that same protection to them. So, and that is, like I said, word for word what that comes out of the Copyright Act. Then I think now our amendments will start repeating. So I will give a very short description of as they go, unless they are actually new. On page 59, we now have the Trademarks Act. Collecting Society, again, that deletion there, adding, first the deletion of in Collecting Society of the Copyright Act's description, and then at the bottom of 59, the definition for Copyright Act. On page 60, all of that, 60 and 61, is simply the deletion of the description of the Copyright Act. On page 62, that is the amendment of the definition of Indigenous community, exactly as we did before. And below that, Indigenous cultural expression or knowledge, exactly as we have done before, in respect of the rituals and peregrinations and the sacred places over on page 63, subsection D there. A little bit below, again, is just in the National Trust definition, deletion of the description of the Copyright Act. Then on page 66, this is section 43B, subsection 7. And this is where we provide that if there is a community protocol, that must be taken into account when a person interacts with the community. On page 67, simply deletion of the description of the Indigenous Copyright Act. On page 68, section 43D, subsection 3, here is where we've added the juristic person, the community being deemed to be a juristic person, to provide for those instances indicated by the Honourable Albert as that there might be instances of summons, etc., under this Act that we need to provide for. So that is there. A little bit lower in subsection 3 still, but below the big paragraph just before, sorry, not 3, in subsection 4, the catch-all paragraph at the bottom, just deleting the description of the Copyright Act. On page 69, just there's a couple of corrections of cross-referring of numbering, and the same goes on page 70. Simply numbering or cross-referencing, that's fixed. Page 71, just a deletion of the description of the Copyright Act. On page 73, that is simply cross-referencing again and numbering. On page 73, again in section 43E, there is some cross-referencing that has just been corrected there. Then the title of 43F, there we have added the benefits again. And then in 43F section 1, again, adding benefits or royalty and benefit. Over on page 74, we're still in section 43F, section 2, subsection 2 there, adding the 12 months, broadening the aspect, but in subsection A, making provision that the royalties will start at the commencement of this bill, and in B, this is the clause that I said we would like to park, but explain to you that we would like to try and avoid there being a possible interpretation of parallel lines. Right. So simply saying that the person who has a right at the moment will continue to hold it in the way that he's holding it at the moment, subject to royalties and the benefit sharing agreement. Then on page 75, all the amendments there in subsection 4 and in subsection 4C simply relate to benefits and royalties. And then on page 76, subsection 7 there, again, just adding benefits. Page 77, 43G, subsection 2, simply deletion of that the description of the Copyright Act. On page 79, just correcting the numbering of sections 4, 5, 6, and 7, and then also adding subsection 6, which deals with the appeal on the alternative dispute resolution. Then on page 80, again, international agreement, exactly the same as was done in the Copyright Act, repeating that section here as well. Then I think we are now in the Designs Act, And again, I think that it will be exactly the same. And where it isn't, I will point that out specifically. So on page 84, Intellecting Society 81 is still international agreement, and the amendment here is exactly the same still as was done in the Copyright Act. So the changes on page 80, 81, and 82 at the top are all exactly in line with what was done in the Copyright Act in relation to the section that deals with compliance with international agreements. Then page 84, at the top there, the definition of collecting society is just the description of the Copyright Act, and you'll note at the bottom of that page the addition of that definition. Then going back to collecting society, simply adding benefits to the royalties. Page 85, at the top there, deleting that description of the act, the same with council as well as database. On page 86, the exact same thing of the description of the act in respect of fund. Then at the bottom, Indigenous community, the exact same changes to this definition as was done before. Over on page 87, exact same changes to the definition of Indigenous cultural expression or knowledge as explained before. Then on page 88, the definition of Indigenous design, we have just added a little bit of grammar there, or rather styling for drafting, putting a semicolon and or a colon, sorry, and a capital P. At the bottom, again, deletion of the description of the Copyright Act. Then the next amendment is on page 91, section 4053B, subsection 4. This again deals with the community protocol, and if there is such a community protocol, that must be honored in any interaction with the community. On page 92, the top, there's the national and the database being in capital letters. I think that was actually done before. Just below that is the deletion of the description of the Copyright Act being done twice in that section. Subsection 4 there, the deeming provision, so the community is deemed to be a juristic person. On page 93, again, the deletion at the top there of the description of the Copyright Act, and then just cross-referencing and numbering that was corrected. On page 94, again, just cross-referencing and numbering corrected, and in subsection 10, deletion of the description of the Copyright Act. On page 95, again, just numbering of the paragraphs. Then on page 96, something that we realized actually early this morning, after having heard the problem with aesthetic designs being 15 years and functional designs being 10 years, we realized that now that we're providing for both, we need to change that in the period of protection as well. So section 53E(a)(1) indicates 15 years for an aesthetic derivative Indigenous design and 10 years for a functional derivative Indigenous design, which is aligned with the current Designs Act. Then on page 97, at the top there in the title, simply adding the words benefit. The same in subsection 1, under the paragraph that catch all again, just adding benefit or royalty and benefit. Then in subsection 2, we've changed the period to make it 12 months in which a person has to approach the community. And then again, provided that, subsection A, these royalties and benefits shall start from the commencement of the act, irrespective of when this person approaches the community. And on page 98, at the top there, subsection B, the clause that, again, I would ask us just to keep on hold until after T, if we do get there, where we say that a person who holds a right at the moment will continue to hold that right as he or she is holding it now, save for having to enter into an agreement with the community and paying royalties. Then in subsection 4, again, just the addition of benefits and or, and the same on page 99, subsection 6 and subsection 7. On page 100, just a little bit of a grammar a mistake there that was corrected, and deletion of the description of the Copyright Act. Then on page 102, This is the appeal provision that has been added to the ADR as alternative dispute resolution mechanism. And then at the bottom, starting compliance with international agreements, 53K, going over on 103, that whole first bit being deleted, as well as subsection 1, is again a repeat of section 37 of the Copyright Act. Going over on page 104, subsection 4, again, a repeat of the Copyright Act's provision in this regard. And that is what we have amended. Thank you.
Advocate van der Merwe, like to thank you and the drafting team for the sterling effort that you put into this to bring us a clean copy this morning. And as I understand it, although you meant refer to the word park twice, it was all the same issue, in fact, that went across the Act or the Bill as it currently stands. Now, I'm trying to follow the process here on the agenda itself. That was the input by the drafters, etc. And we then, I'm looking at this here. There was a certain amount of deliberation, but it's actually the consideration, but there was an informal engagement with Honourable Ambrosini prior to the meeting. You may wish to just engage on that point right now.
Madam Chairman, apologies. Political parties are different, a difficult creature. We're having a caucus at 11 o'clock today rather than tomorrow at 9 o'clock, so I will need to excuse myself. I just, with your license, just want to make two points, and I make the point trying to help. I don't need to be answered. If those who hear them see merit, that can be done. The first one, it's a small point, royalty. I sent a paper to the comment to the Honourable van der, I mean to Mrs. van der Merwe. Royalty defines the type of relationship which creates it. It's like salary. It's like rent. It comes out of a concession of intellectual property rights. It needs not to be cash. It can be anything. Royalty is debt which is given in consideration of a concession, of a right which stays with the holder and is extended to somebody else. So it can be cash, it can be anything else. Benefit is not required and makes us look as if we don't know that. Number one. Number two, on the indigenous community legal personality, I mean, I've been raising this point for a year. Now, finally, it has been accepted. Thank you very much. You've given them, well, that now the indigenous community is a juristic person, has got legal personality. He is a legal persona. Wonderful. Had to be done. Now, you haven't done it the way I was suggesting, by making reference to indigenous community, to traditional councils and entities under the Companies Act. You're done through with a deeming provision. Now, that opens up to two additional problems that you must deal with. The first one is that you need to set out the rules of internal organization and how the entity expresses itself and how it operates. You cannot have a legal entity nowhere else in legislation, nowhere else in the world, nowhere else in history. There is a legal entity in which it is not specified in law who speaks for it. The way this can be fixed, as I suggested before, is to do what Clara did, the Communal Land Rights Act, where the government gives the indigenous community a constitution. It's a standard constitution which the indigenous community can tweak, can change, they stamp it, and that constitution answers all those questions. Within the context of this bill, that would mean to transform the protocol into a government document, which is given by the government to the community, subject to the community capacity and power to change it, so that the incorporation takes place as if and when people subscribe to the protocol. Same as Clara. And the additional advantages that identifies the community at the juncture. And the corollary is that the protocol must be necessary. And that's the first problem that you have. The second problem is that now the indigenous community is a legal entity, no longer follows, and I did not think that it followed before, but being as it may, surely it doesn't now, that the member of the community can exercise the right of the legal entity and can continue to enjoy the IP or the IK that enjoyed before. So that provision needs to be made for that. The third and last problem, Madam Chairman, is that in order to finesse your way out of the constitutional problem of expropriation, the bill has phrased the clause that the holder keeps the right save for the right of the need of paying a royalty and an agreement with the community. Now, it should have been, you don't have any right unless you get these two things. But there is in the law now the statement that it holds the right. Now, that creates a set of unintended, unforeseeable consequences, because you've got somebody who is the titular right, the titular holder of a right in law, in the statute, by virtue of prior use. You were doing it before, now you've got a vesting provision which vests that right, but you can't use that right until you pay somebody else. Now, I'm not sure how that would work vis-a-vis somebody else acquiring the right afterward. How it would work vis-a-vis somebody else trying to do the same thing from the getting permission from the community. One would almost draw the conclusion that once a right is used by someone now and he pays the community, he gets the agreement of the community cannot license the same right to somebody else. And that would lead to the unintended consequences of where we created a protection, an exclusivity where it doesn't exist in a person who is utilizing it now. These are my only points, Madam Chairman. In respect of the other points which are placed in right, I stand by what I've written, subject to these qualifications and corrections. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that. We did, in fact, look at the points that you had put forward in writing to the chairperson for the committee. I must say, certainly the issue of royalties and benefits was discussed at some length, and we chose to broaden it. Notwithstanding what the legal fraternity's view is. So we were aware of that point entirely. I'm quite certain that the Indigenous community points that you have made around there will, of course, and would have been noted. I'm looking across at our drafting team and all the many advocates on the left itself. But suffice to say, I think that the community protocol has been there for some time, but quite clearly, every member of the committee, including yourself, of course, Honourable Ambrosini, are contributing to this exercise. So we do welcome that input, and I thank you for availing yourself and giving us that opportunity to be heard. I know that you have to leave and that your party requires your attendance and presence. So thank you very much for that. It's on board, and we're not going to start with that per se, but we are going to begin at the beginning here. You've noted that particular issue, correct. So members, we've had the input, I have noted your hand, Honourable Harris, from the drafters. We do want to move on. I did allow Mr. Oriani Ambrosini just that input there before we begin a systematic movement through the bill itself. Honourable Harris?
Can I request that we get a copy of the new drafts by email? There's several of us that are working on our computers.
Get on email. But it may have come across to you while you were walking or something, you know.
I'm here We're all online, so it's not... Yeah.
Oh. All right. It may be very useful for that to happen, Mr. Hermans. Are we all ready then? Fine. Do you want... Okay. I think time is a little against us. I know that... I'm sure it'll come through quite speedily now. Have you got your 3G cards then? No, that's fine. Just wanted to make sure.
It's very useful because that's how I'm working on the bill. So, in fact, without it, it's kind of difficult to follow.
I take your point. I used to love being able to work on my computer. And then one became chair and had to fiddle around with pens. Right, let's just take the latest draft, please. I think you'll find that there's not much in the beginning, Honourable Harris, that you would want to resort to your laptop for on this matter. And I know that Mr. Hermans is facilitating this right now and emailing it. All right, members, we start here now, basically, under the consideration of this. I will just inquire from you in 15 minutes or 10 minutes if you've received that. And we're looking at the Intellectual Property Laws Amendment Bill as redrafted by the National Assembly, proposed Section 75, explanatory summary of the bill published in Government Gazette. Of course, that will be open. And the English text is the official text of the bill. B8 is the one we are looking at, 2010. I think we're all well aware of what we're getting at here from the first, second page. But just to look at the page 2 then, to provide for the recognition and protection of certain manifestations of Indigenous knowledge as a species of intellectual property, to this end to amend certain laws, etc. The Performers Act 1967, so as to provide for the recognition and protection of traditional performances have been removed, so it now reads, of course, protection of performances of traditional works. And the copyright, just a minute here. Performances of traditional works. Next bullet, the Copyright Act remains very much the same there. To provide for a national database for recording Indigenous knowledge and to provide for the recording of Indigenous works and to provide for the establishment of a national trust fund for Indigenous knowledge. Third bullet, the Trademarks Act 1993 remains the same in black there. Fourth bullet, the Designs Act 1993 remains the same. The fifth bullet, to introduce statutory provisions to provide for the establishment of a national council, in caps, in respect of Indigenous knowledge, a national database for the recording of Indigenous knowledge, and a national trust and trust fund for the purposes of Indigenous knowledge, and to provide for matters incidental thereto. We then have the preamble, which remains the same on page 3 without change. Page 4, whereas principles have been agreed upon by international bodies, amongst them the World Trade Organization and the United Nations, confirming that Indigenous knowledge should be recognized and protected by appropriate legal instruments on national level as well as internationally. And whereas Indigenous knowledge includes works, terms, expressions, and designs which are the outcome of the creative ability of the human mind, and in that context has aspects which constitute types of intellectual. Is it constitutes or constitute? It's aspects which constitute, surely. Take off the S there. Types of intellectual property. So so that the intellectual property laws of the country may be used as a legal dispensation and legal tool to provide protection for these appropriate manifestations of indigenous knowledge. And we then move on without a change, and we then move to be it enacted at the bottom of the page by the Parliament of the Republic of South Africa as follows. This amendment is of Section 1 of Act 11 of 1967, as amended by Section 19, Act 38 of 1997, and Section 1 of Act 8 of 2002. Section 1 then, the Performers Protection Act 1967, Act Number 11 of 1967, is hereby amended. By the insertion in subsection 1 before the definition of broadcasting of the following definition. Artistic works have the meaning assigned to them in the Copyright Act. Insofar as, I just wanted to check with you, Advocate van der Merwe, we immediately change, at that particular point, we moved away from the full title right at the beginning. Is that in order? I'm just talking to, you know, as a drafting team. I was always under the impression that the first mention would remain in full.
It's fine to remain there, Chairperson, for you. It is fine to remain there. Yes. Well, it's all part of the board of the bill. Thank you.
Retain it then, Advocate.
The deletion, it should be Ruth Chairperson, Copyright Act only.
Right. B, by the insertion that hasn't changed, a broadcast of the definition, the cinematograph film. We then had the deletion of B. The deletion then of 5, the whole on page 5, right to the end. And we come to page 6C, by the insertion in subsection 1 after the definition of collecting society, the following definitions. Commission. We then had the deletion of community protocol at this point. We then say Copyright Act means the Copyright Act 1978, Act 1998 of 1978. And that is the reason why I asked about page 5. Because my understanding is the first time you note something, it should be in full, not the second time round. You know, that was my understanding, but I'm not a lawyer.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, you will note that even in the body of the bill, if there's a definition, the definition may refer even to something previously mentioned or something that's going to be mentioned ahead within the body. But it is correct, Chairperson, to define it in this particular way, in this particular manner, because the definitions go according to the alphabet, the alphabetic order. So it's impossible to have it.
Right, the database at that point has been deleted on page bottom of page 6 at the top of page 7. And then we go to dramatic works with the deletion of the full title of Copyright Act then, and also the deletion of expressions of folklore. So it reads, dramatic works have the meaning assigned to them in the Copyright Act insofar as such works are capable of being performed and include musical, dramatic, dramatico-musical works, and traditional works. There's no change to D there. Fixation, A and B, the bottom of the page, E, the definition of fixation, and we move to page 8. At that point, folklore is deleted, as is the fund, as is the indigenous community, indigenous cultural expressions or knowledge. Page 9, we have a series of deletions there, indigenous performance, until we come to literary works. Have the meaning assigned to them in the Copyright Act, insofar as such works are capable of being performed, and include musical, dramatic, dramatico-musical work, and traditional works. Musical works have the meaning assigned to them in the Copyright Act, insofar as such works are capable of being performed, and include musical, dramatic, dramatico-musical works, and traditional works. Page 10. If, by the deletion in subsection 1, of the definition of literary and artistic works. Right? G. By the insertion in subsection 1 after the definition of literary and artistic works of the following definitions. We have an initial deletion of National Trust, and then performance includes any mode of visual or acoustic presentation of a literary work, musical work, artistic work, dramatic work, or a work of joint authorship, including acting, singing, delivering, declaiming, playing, or otherwise performing such work, and includes any such presentation by the operation of a loudspeaker, but excluding such performance by the use of a phonogram, a radio, television, diffusion receiver, by the exhibition of a cinematograph film, by the use of a record, broadcasting, rebroadcasting, or transmission in a diffusion service, and perform has a corresponding meaning. By the substitution, that is on page 11, in subsection 1 for the definition of performer of the following definition. Gives us that definition. It means an actor, singer, musician, dancer, or other person who acts, sings, delivers, declaims, plays in, or otherwise performs literary works, musical works, or artistic. You do read the or there, am I right, Advocate Vandermeer? Or artistic works, dramatic works, or works of joint authorship. Have we got that 3G? Have we got that the electronic one? Fine. Aye. By the insertion in subsection 2, there's a definition of phonogram, which has remained the same. J. By the addition in subsection 1 of after the definition of reproduction of the following definition. Traditional work means a traditional work as defined in Section 1 of the Copyright Act and includes expressions of folklore. That's added for the first time, I think you said, did you, Advocate Vandermeer, when you were making your input. Works of joint authorship have the meaning assigned to them in the Copyright Act, insofar as such works are capable of being performed and include musical, dramatic, dramatico-musical works and traditional works, and remains unchanged, well, rather there's one little deletion, K. In this act, to the doing of an act in relation to a performance, including a performance of a traditional work, a fixation, etc. It remains pretty much unchanged until we get to Clause 2. The following sections are hereby inserted in the Performers Protection Act 1967, Act Number 11, 1967, after Section 8. Application to performances, it should be then, huh? Not a performances. Just take, remove the... Have they removed the S then as well? Okay. So, to application to a traditional performance of a traditional work. Fine. 8A. Subject to the provisions of this section, 8B, 8C, and 8D, the provisions of this Act shall, except insofar as is otherwise provided in the said sections and insofar as they can be applied to a performance of traditional work. Page 13, 2, nothing in the sections contemplated in subsection 1 shall be construed as conferring any rights to any person in respect of intellectual property which is not a performance of a traditional work. We then have a deletion right down to the bottom, and we go to page 14. That deletion continues. It was dealing with the protection of performers' rights in respect of performances in the Republic. We have 8B, National Database 8C. Page 15, a full deletion there on page 15. Page 16, the deletion continues. 8, ownership of copyright and traditional performances, 8D, later, nature of rights of performances and traditional performances, deleted, 8E, term of protection, 8F. The deletion continues on page 16. 17, it includes the restriction on the use of traditional performances and royalties. We then go to 18, page 18, a full deletion there on that page. Page 19, page 20. Page 21, we then start dealing with disputes here. Page 21, 8B, is it? 8B? 1, in black. So it was just the numbering there. 3, we've had that one for some time. No person appearing in the proceedings before an institution contemplated in subsection 1 shall have the right to legal representation unless the adjudicator and all other parties agree, consent, B, all of that remains the same. There's a numbering change, 4, just to take it into account. Any adjudication must take into account existing, so any's being deleted, existing customary dispute resolution mechanisms. Page 22, part of that appeal process, inserted. Number 6, any party to proceedings before an institution referred to in subsection 1 may appeal against any decision of such institution, and the appeal must be noted and handled in the manner prescribed by law for appeals against a civil order or decision of a single judge. Number 7, the minister shall prescribe the fees, processes, and formalities relating to the institution and adjudication of dispute resolution proceedings. The National Council, 8C, shall function as the council for performances of traditional works under this Act. 2, when a performance of a traditional work is performed by several performers as a group as contemplated in Section 6, the council shall, in the absence of another specifically designated authority, function and be regulated as the authority contemplated in Section 6. The compliance with international agreements is deleted at that point. Page 23, the deletion continues dealing with that until we get to page 24. We have regulations and guidelines, 8D, 1. That really remains the same. It was just the numbering there. B, providing for the fees, processes, and formalities related to the institution of dispute resolution proceedings set out in Section 8B. A deletion there. 2, The Minister may issue guidelines on any aspect of the Intellectual Property Laws Amendment Act 2010, including a protection of a performance of a traditional work, remove the database B and C, and we come to a fresh B, as I understand it. The Council, insofar as it relates to a performance of a traditional work, and C, the dispute resolution process as set out in Section 8B. Hope that's clear there. Amendment of Section 1 of Act 98 of 1978 as amended by Section 1 of Act 66 of 1983, Section 1 of Act 52 1984, Section 1 of Act 13 1988, Section 1 of Act 125 of 1992, Section 50 of Act 38 of 1997, and Section 1 of Act 9 of 2002. We then go on to the Section 1 of the Copyright Act in full 1978, Act 98 of 1978, is hereby amended. A, by the definition of author of the following paragraphs after paragraph I. J, a derivative indigenous work means the person who first made or created the work, a substantial part of which was derived from an indigenous work. And K, an indigenous work means the indigenous community from which the work originated and acquired its traditional character. We remain there, the definition of collecting society. Collecting society means at the bottom of the page, a society created by this act, or agreement, and which, amongst others, manages matters related to works in copyright works. B, negotiates for and collects royalties and benefits on behalf of its members. And C, distributes royalties and benefits to copyright owners. C remains the same there. What the Commission means. The Community Protocol, which we've had much discussion about. Community Protocol means a protocol developed by an indigenous community that describes the structure of an indigenous community and its claim to an indigenous cultural expression or knowledge and indigenous works, and provides procedures for prospective users of such an indigenous cultural expression or knowledge or indigenous works to seek the community's prior informed consent, negotiate mutually agreed terms and benefit sharing agreements. D, after the definition of copyright, council means the National Council for Indigenous Knowledge, contemplated in Section 8L. We then go on to page 27. Database means the National Database for Indigenous Knowledge, contemplated in Section 28C. A derivative indigenous work. We've had this for some time, but I do read it again. Means any work forming the subject of this act applied to any form of indigenous work recognized by indigenous community as having an indigenous or traditional origin, and a substantial part of which was derived from an indigenous cultural expression or knowledge. Irrespective of whether such derivative indigenous work was derived before or after the commencement of the Intellectual Property Laws Amendment Act. The definition of fund means the National Trust Fund for Indigenous Knowledge, established in terms of Section 28, Z.I. Indigenous community means any recognizable community of people originated in or historically settled in a geographic area or areas located within the borders of the Republic as such borders existed at the date of commencement of the Intellectual Property Laws Amendment Act 2010, characterized by social, cultural, and economic conditions which distinguish them from other sections of the national community who identify themselves and are recognized by other groups as a distinct collective. We've had this one about indigenous cultural expression of knowledge for some time, but we did add there, and I think, is this the one I'm just looking here? No. It was just an emphasis that a place cannot be performed. That's why it was removed. Under C, in the middle of the page, expressions by action such as dances, plays, ceremonies, rituals, expressions of spirituality or religion, sports and traditional games, puppet performances, and other performances, whether fixed or unfixed. Tangible expressions such as material expressions of art, handicrafts, architecture, or tangible spiritual forms, or expressions of sacred places. Indigenous work then also just indicates including an indigenous cultural expression or knowledge added again here, the word concept of knowledge being added. 29 remains relatively unchanged from what we've already done. 30, page 30, bringing everything into line with what we've done so far. Traditional work includes a derivative indigenous work and an indigenous work. And we then go on to KB. For the purposes of this act, a traditional work and an indigenous cultural expression or knowledge as contemplated in this act. So, sorry about that. Work means a work as interpreted in section 2 and B, for the purposes of this act, a traditional work and an indigenous cultural expression or knowledge as contemplated in this act. We then go on to chapter 2A, copyright in traditional works, application to traditional works. 28A1, it's just really a kind of numbering system there that's come into play. Page 31, 2, nothing in sections contemplated, in the sections contemplated in subsection 1, shall be construed as conferring any rights to any persons in respect of intellectual property, which is not a traditional work. 31, 28B, we go right down, point 3, copyright shall be conferred on a traditional work only if the traditional work, A, if the traditional work is a derivative indigenous work and was created on or after the date of commencement, bringing everything just into line with what we've done, B, or B, the traditional work is an indigenous work, 4, no right in a derivative indigenous work provided for in the Intellectual Property Laws Amendment Act 2010 shall be eligible for registration unless, and we talk about the consent of the community there, page 32. B, disclosure of the indigenous cultural expression or knowledge has been made to the commission. That's added there. And B, the benefit sharing agreement again. 5, if an indigenous community has established a community protocol, the interaction with the indigenous community contemplated in subsection 4 must take such protocol into account. We have just a semantic cleanup with D database there. 28C, much the same. 2. The databases contemplated in subsection 1 shall form subsections of existing intellectual property registers and shall incorporate separate sections for the recording of information on different manifestations of an indigenous cultural expression or knowledge, as contemplated in subsection 3. And then 3, all information submitted to the registrar regarding a manifestation of an indigenous cultural expression or knowledge shall be recorded in the databases in the appropriate sections in the prescribed manner. Page 33, the registration in respect of a traditional work shall be for the purposes of recordal of ownership and identification of representation within an indigenous community. Just reading that again to the English. Registration in respect of a traditional work shall be for the purposes of recordal ownership and identification of representation within an indigenous community. 5. The databases remain the same, just the numbering here. 6. We talk about the registrars of patent, copyright, trademarks, and designs may request any relevant person to provide them with information, such information or advice as they may require in order to assess a request for recording as contemplated in subsection 7, or to maintain the databases. 7, any, and then we go A, person who is an author. B, person or authorized to act on behalf of an indigenous community or on behalf of an individual. Or C, a person appointed by the minister in the manner prescribed to act on behalf of an indigenous community which is no longer in existence. You remember we thrashed that one out? May, for the purposes of a recordal, submit to the registrar of patents, copyright, trademarks, etc., with the prescribed information. There's just a clean up there, an indigenous cultural expression or knowledge. The rest is something we're well aware of on page 33. 34, we talk about on page, if the applicant, it starts with 8, if the applicant for the registration is an indigenous community, the request referred to in subsection 7 shall include a community protocol setting out relevant information about the community, including A, identification of the indigenous community and its acknowledged structure. I feel very strongly that some of the points raised earlier by Honourable Ambrosini we may well have dealt with in his absence, and he would not yet have had the opportunity to read what is here, and perhaps even yesterday. So I think we will point this out to him in due course. We then have 34B, till we come to 9. The council shall assist the indigenous community to ensure that the community protocol corresponds with the structure of the indigenous community. The numbering just changes there, 11, 12, 13 on page 35. A bit of a clean up there on the N, page 35, 13. And we include the manifestation of an indigenous cultural expression or knowledge and the veracity of that information recorded. And then it's numbering 14, spelling there, plural databases. Community may determine what information recorded in the databases must be treated confidentially. provided that if the community protocol indicates that the information is sacred or must be kept in confidence, the commission must treat the information confidentially. 15. We talk about reference again to subsection 7. Page 36. Upon receipt of a request to amend or remove any Indigenous cultural expression or knowledge recorded in a database, the Registrar of Patents, Copyrights, Trademarks and Designs shall, A, where the request did not originate from the owner or proprietor of the Indigenous cultural expression or knowledge, that's the explanation, and then it retains the rest of that, how they would go about it, B, where the request originated from the owner or proprietor of the Indigenous cultural expression or knowledge, consider the request as set out in subsection 11, and consider any opposition received as set out in subsection 12. 17. The Minister may, in consultation with the Minister of Finance, prescribe the tariff of fees payable for access by any person to the databases. We then go on to ownership of copyright, 28D. And the important one here, as I understand it, Advocate van der Merwe, for the purposes of this act, an Indigenous community is deemed to be a juristic person. Honourable Harris?
Chair, I'm sorry I had to step out and I missed some critical things. Are we only dealing with new issues here, or can I bring up an old issue?
An old issue if it's new, if it's got a new angle, you know, because now you can see what there is here. I'm trying to accommodate everyone.
It's an old issue in as much as I think several of us have been talking about it for quite a while, but I think Honourable Ambrosini added a fresh angle this morning by bringing it up again and talking about some of the unintended consequences to do with this deeming provision. And I think it would probably do it justice to run through his concerns. I can repeat them if you like. I just took notes while he was talking, so I'm this is my view on it, and it's not necessarily the technically correct. But
I do believe the drafting advocates did make a note, because I did check. You did make a note of that, didn't you? Do you wish to comment at this time? Because they did make a note of it.
Thank you, Chairperson. The points brought forth by the Honourable Ambrosini are actually not new. They, despite the deeming provision being used to bring them again, the argument is still that there should be a constitution or something ascribed to a community. And using the Lands Bill, that was quite a contentious bill. The advice that we were given, because we have sought on this act already, should we do the protocol? Should we have communities form juristic persons, etc.? The advice continued to be no, do not prescribe to communities. His last comment on that issue, the fact that as they now are deemed that a member of the community can continue to use that Indigenous knowledge within the community and therefore should be provided for, I actually disagree. We have already indicated that, in fact, we've deleted the section which provided for the community to use the Indigenous knowledge, because we said it is theirs. It is their ownership. They have this copyright. They have this design right, etc. They can't steal from themselves. It is theirs to use. So I don't think it's necessary to actually specifically provide for that. Of course, the issue of following what another act did and giving these communities a standard constitution, that is something that this committee can decide to do. But like I say, the advice specifically from Professor Ntuli and Dr. von Braun spoke against that.
You will remember, Honourable Harris, this did come up yesterday under deeming one way or the other, and I think there was a lot, we ourselves had a lot of discussion on it. Now, do you wish to comment at all at this point, Honourable Harris or Honourable Khadebe?
Yes, Chair, I would just simply say that the DA supports the final issue raised by the advocate, that this committee should actually upgrade the protocol to being a requirement, thereby solving a multitude of issues, including how do we identify the community. But I think we've, like I said yesterday, and I mean, it's just simply at this point the DA's position, Chair, that we've gone halfway there with this protocol. It's an innovative approach. Let's just turn it into a requirement. I think unless we do, we leave too many other loopholes open.
Right. Perhaps what we can do is, could we flag, what's happened here with this? Perhaps we can flag that one. All right. We just spent a lot of time yesterday with the experts on it, who had a different, didn't have a unanimous approach between all three, as you know. You were there yourself. But none of them are lawyers anyway, you know. So let's come back to it. All right. Did you have your hand up, Honourable Vandermeer? No, I'll come back. We'll come back to it, I think. We're not overlooking it, all right. I think it's here. Let me just make a note of it. The deeming provision. Now, with our glasses all gone haywire, of course I must blame something. Okay, I've got it now. Right, so we've got that one already flagged. Now, if we can get back to page 36 then, all right, that's all right. You didn't really miss much, by the way, Honourable Harris. It was just that, really, you know, when you were out. Yes, Honourable Harris?
I was going to wait till the end, Chair, but I do have numerous issues between page 27 and where we are now, which I did miss. It was my own fault, but perhaps when we're done this process, we can just come back to those pages briefly.
Well, you know, I don't want to find ourselves going backwards and forwards in this process. You know, I'm happy to on one or two little issues, but let's have that then on page 27, I think you mentioned. But I think we must all try, I know it's difficult, but to remain in the room as far as possible. Page 27, you said.
Okay.
Honourable Salah?
If I heard him well, Jefferson, he says between page 27 and where we are, which means from page 27 to where we are, the whole job must be redone in order for him to see what he's lost in it.
I would have looked at it just a little differently and just simply said, raise the three issues you wish to raise as a block. We're not going to go page by page for the benefit, your benefit, but raise them.
Thanks, Chair. On page 27, you will remember my point about how the definition of derivative work needs to require the fact that it's non-original. I'll just go through them. Under the definition of indigenous community, this speaks to my first point about the community protocol. I believe we should require the protocol in the definition of community. I think one of the points raised by Ms. Shabanga yesterday remains relevant, and that is the potential compromise of national treatment by the fact that we're only protecting communities within the borders of the Republic in that definition. There, of course, are the two issues that remain about living versus extinct and the burden of proof within that definition. I don't have accurate notes, but it seems that we forgot or didn't deal adequately on the next page with the fact that Indigenous cultural expression or knowledge is still very broad. I don't think we actually define or deal with knowledge. I would imagine that should be simply the definition of Indigenous cultural expression. And then, Chair, on page... Well, there's the major issue on page 31, 28B1, about whether we follow the recommendation of the experts that we name this right something else and not copyright. I believe Advocate Funimova had some ideas there, but we never followed those through.
That's page
31. On 31, yeah, and under 28B1. And then obviously under 28B2, Ms. Shabangu said that copyright needs to be written down, which I think underlines that previous point that perhaps we can't give the rights of copyright without affecting existing copyrights. Then, Chair, under 28B4, there's a whole set of issues around the requirements of consent, disclosure, and a benefit-sharing agreement. One of the implications of that is that it led to us requesting from the Patents Office how many patents they've had applications for their bioprospecting, because there, I understand, similar hurdles, and I think we should at some point review that letter, because I think it might shed some light on whether these hurdles are perhaps prohibitive. And there is the concern under 28B4C that requiring a benefit sharing agreement would perhaps contravene Bern by requiring an additional step beyond automatic protection, or rather automatic use. And then I think that's what I missed. And I, again, apologize, I had to step out.
I think, though, we did deal quite adequately with the Bern Convention and did take a decision yesterday. I think when it came to the department, we left that out. We did say, Honorable van der Merwe, we would come back to that, if you recall. So we didn't deal with that particular one. And it may be pertinent just to either deal with it now so we don't keep on going backwards on this issue. And the other one here, though, with respect to the, where was it, on page 27, you know, we spent a lot of time yesterday with one of the three areas that we really grappled with, and that was Indigenous cultural expressions of knowledge. We really spent a lot of time on that and community protocols. Now, the information I have here is that in the final analysis, we've heard from the experts on this. We've heard from our drafters. And really, we do need as a committee to take a decision on that particular one. When it came to the other one that you raised on page, I think there were two of them on page 31. Well, actually three. The 28B, the actual copyright issue, perhaps we can just refresh our minds around that one, which the drafters seem to have had some couple of alternatives in mind. When it came to the benefit sharing agreement, I made my own notes and concluded that although there was a lot of discussion, there was a position that we took to retain it as it was. So I think what you've got to do with the benefit sharing one and the others, other than the, you mentioned six altogether, that you're going to have to take this through later and try to convince the entire committee of that one. But perhaps we could just get from Advocate van der Merwe immediately this issue about the copyright one, the 28B1, which I have noted here you did make some couple of suggestions, as it were, yesterday.
Thank you, Chairperson. Indeed, with Ms. Shabangu, what we've discussed was, if you will recall, going back to all the submissions and the public hearings, etc., there has been this concern about traditional knowledge not really fitting into the conventional intellectual property system because it's not original, novel, or is part of the state of the art. And to limit that we didn't want this cross-pollination, so that we don't want the conventional IP system to change because we are now bringing in indigenous knowledge as a part of it. We sort of demarcated. We've already made chapters within each act. We provided in the 28A, or 8A, 28A, 43A, and 53A, we provided that there is no, whatever is here created in this bill does not affect the conventional intellectual property. But on this same argument, Ms. Shabangu was saying, but the word copyright has such an entrenched meaning that if you apply it to an indigenous knowledge, you're actually creating a contradiction in terms. Now, I think there's two sides to this. The one is that, you know, that might be so, but we are at the moment creating law. It is new concepts that we are putting there, and the term copyright needs to expand a little bit when we talk about it to also fit what we have here. I think the argument was made last night that we must keep in mind that we want to bring this into the intellectual property system. I think, in fact, it was the Honourable Hadebe that made that point, and therefore that the term should be retained. Like I said, the other argument is that if we steer away and say, yes, we agree that copyright has an acknowledged meaning and that it might cause confusion. So we don't really want to use this term copyright when we refer to indigenous knowledge. It is possible in the copyright amendments to change the word copyright with indigenous knowledge right. So that is something that can be done, and that is something that the and indigenous knowledge right. So everywhere where the word copyright appears, we can simply say an indigenous knowledge right. It will still be within the Copyright Act, and it will still have to be acknowledged as part of copyright, but we may call it something. So that is a possibility. But if I may just point out, and I think DGI had a serious concern about that change. I remember that, and I feel it might be better for them to make that argument themselves.
All of the arguments on this side of the table, Honourable Alberts. Did you want to come in here then, DDG or Chief Director?
No, thanks, Chair. I propose that scanning of that document should be put on the blackboard there, as we agreed yesterday.
One of our members of staff, you know, is not just here at the moment, so perhaps carry on.
No, I can no longer wait.
I tell you what, Mr. Nietzsche Tenzi, seeing as you feel you need that whiteboard, let's just leave that one. I'm sure Ms. Herling will come in any moment. And can we rather take Honourable Alberts at this point?
Madam Chair, I just quickly want to say something because I have to go for a quick caucus with my party. This question actually relates to a broader question, and which comes in with regard to the whole, the protecting and promoting indigenous knowledge as a whole. Amending the IP laws is only one way of doing it, and we've all acknowledged that, you know, during the debate whether we should go sui generis on IP route, that there are other ways of dealing with it as well. And that's, I think, why Honourable Harris has also raised the question, Mark, regarding the naming of copyright or not. Now, it is true that from a legal point of view, the rights that have been created arises from the existing IP bills, because that's why we are amending those IP bills. So while we can call it something else, the effect would inevitably be the same in application. And we'll have to see how that turns out in practice. But I remember when we had the discussions about sui generis and the preamble and the introduction of this bill, the introductory paragraphs, we spoke about that in future it could be possible that a overarching meta bill, whatever you want to call it, be drafted that could take out the uniqueness, due to the uniqueness of indigenous knowledge, could actually create a separate set of rules in that bill existing alongside the existing IP bill. And I'm wondering, and I think that the suggestion was mooted, but I don't think I can recall that we actually finished talking about it, that we, in the preamble, we might add something to the effect that this is only one way of promoting and protecting indigenous knowledge, and that we acknowledge, while we have a preamble, that there might be other ways in future. So we open the door that if we get to that point in history, in time, whenever that may be, and somebody wants to build this overarching network of laws, that this bill opens up that avenue for not changing the IP bills, but taking out the relevant sections and putting it in one bill that protects indigenous knowledge as a whole. So you almost have a one-stop reference with regards to the rights to indigenous knowledge. I hope that makes sense. Thank you.
Certainly a welcome addition there. And I know that our drafters are thinking about that one as well. But can I also ask Honourable van der Merwe, who had her hand up, just to take the floor?
Chair, I wanted to argue some of the points that have been raised by Mr. Harris. Can I do that? Okay, the first one is around the community protocol and the question of whether this should be compulsory. And I think that we've had roundabout and lengthy discussions about this, and the fact that we don't want the communities to be forced into putting themselves in a structure. That was the essence of the argument that was put forward by a number of the advisors. I think both Van Braun and Thule made this point. And that we thought the community protocol was a mechanism for use by the communities should they desire this. But both Mr. Ambrosini and Mr. Harris are seeking to get this as a requirement before you can claim the right. And in fact, I think it's contrary to the spirit of the copyright environment. Because the copyright is something that you don't have to, it is automatically there. There may, for example, be a community where it is an obvious traditional knowledge that they own. Now, they shouldn't have to do anything. I think it's in contravention to all the issues that we've been raising about making this right, a traditional right, a right in the same way that other people have rights and other sectors have rights. That's the first thing. On the second thing, on the derivative indigenous work, now I'm not clear about how we can put in non-original, but I do remember that we talked about substantial part of which, in other words, it's a traditional origin and a substantial part of which, and I understand there is law on that. There's considerable law on that, which gives the strength to the definition to indicate that it is something that is derived from a work, and that substantially holds part of that original work in its derivation. So I think that that's where we cover that thing. On the question of the definition of the indigenous community, I think we've flogged living and extinct to death, and it is my view that we actually, and we've included it elsewhere, that we need to allow for an extinct community. And I think we've included it in various other areas. But this bill is, I mean, this definition does not in fact specify extinct it just doesn't preclude it, you know. So I really can't see why that would be a problem. I don't think that, I think we had convincing argument, especially from Professor Ntuli, about the burden of proof and the way in which the historical record thing is not actually necessary, because the historical record, and I think some of my colleagues talked about the fact that the historical record has been disrupted and it has been suppressed for all these years, and that the very essence of the existence of the knowledge and the claiming of it is actually the proof. So I also don't really understand the located within the borders of the Republic, because it is our indigenous knowledge we're trying to protect. The other matters relating to other communities fall under the international treaties that we engage in and are covered, and I think better now, in the new international agreements section that we see all over the place. In terms of indigenous cultural expression or knowledge definition, which I think we've improved through the spirituality things, and sadly, against my wishes, the dropping of peregrination and the add of all expressions of cultural places. Now, as I recall this, because it's not an area that I am normally familiar with, this was something that came directly from a WIPO example, and it was von Braun who introduced it and even convinced us to have this in all the sections. And I think that we have to acknowledge that this would put us in line and in sync with what is happening all over the world in regard to that protection. Now, when we come to this very important, I think this is the last point that was made. The traditional work shall be eligible for copyright. I want to agree with some of the colleagues who talked about the necessity to change things. It's the necessity to say indigenous work is, after all, original. Just goes back a hell of a long way. Why should it not be protected in terms of intellectual property as a copyright? Why should it not? Why should it be something different? Maybe I can be persuaded otherwise, but it seems to me that 28B1 is mollified by 2 above in 28A2, which is referred to also by Advocate van der Merwe, but also that it further expands on the restriction, if you like, on the copyright through 3, which says copyright shall be conferred on a traditional work only if it is those things. So I really think that we should stick with our original assumption that we are creating copyright, we are extending copyright rights to traditional works. I further want to say that this question of the contravention of the burn on page 32C on the benefit sharing agreement between the applicant and the relevant authority, I think that kind of little clause has to be read in the context of the full bill and all the things that we're trying to do. And so I can't see that would be a contravention of Berne. In fact, I don't know if Shabangu said it was a contravention of Berne, but I don't think we've had an opinion to that effect. But, I mean, we can certainly look at it if it does occur. But yeah, those are all responses basically to Mr. Harris from my point of view, and I think largely an ANC position.
I just want to confirm that it certainly was, our experts did not oppose the Berne Convention issue in that regard. But if we can just ask, thank you very much, Honourable Randamova, you kind of refreshed our memories. Yes, Mr. Nyetse Tenzi, you have now got this on the overhead, I understand, and you wanted to talk to it.
No problem. Thanks, Chair, and Honourable Members. I'm dealing with this issue of traditional work. In our definition, we say traditional work includes a derivative indigenous work and an indigenous work. And then, therefore, it can be eligible for copyrighting, if I may say so. And then somewhere we also said this derivative work is the work which comes with a substantial part. And then what is written there, please, I will go through slowly. I will be reading on my book, but members may read there. It says copyright adaptation and derivative works. When is the use of traditional cultural materials legitimate is inspiration, and when is it inappropriate adaptation and copying? An author of a work normally has the exclusive right to control the making of adaptation of the work. Examples will be translations, revisions, and any other forms in which a work may be recast, transformed, or adapted. These are sometimes together referred to as derivative works. Derivative works may themselves qualify for copyright protection if sufficiently original, emphasis if. Even works derived from materials in the public domain can be copyright protected because a new interpretation, arrangement, adaptation, or collection of public domain materials can result in a new distinct expression which is sufficiently original. This helps to explain why a contemporary literary and artistic production derived from or inspired by traditional culture that incorporates new elements can be considered a distinct original work and is thus protected. However, the protection afforded to derivative works vests only in the new material or aspects of this derivative work. Thus, aside from new material that belongs to the author, a derivative work may also comprise material that already belongs to another right holder. Yesterday I talked about a patent of addition, or is in the public domain. The copyright or public domain status, as the case may be, of these materials is unaffected. While a copyright holder's exclusive rights normally include a right to authorize or prevent the adaptation of the protected work, however, in general, this does not prevent creators from being inspired by other works or from borrowing from them. Copyright supports the idea that new artists build upon the works of others, and it rewards improvisation. In other words, borrowing from and inspirations are permitted. Adaptation and copying are not. Distinguishing between the two is not always easy. So it is my submission that it seems as if some people get confused if I work on the something which is in public domain or on somebody's intellectual property and I borrow or I ledge. And if I come with something which is distinct, stand alone, is derivative and therefore it qualifies to be copyrighted or whatever. So in view of the above, therefore, my submission is that let us not tamper with this issue of saying let us not talk about copyright in this bill and the like. So I'm supporting the leader of the working group to say let's leave it as it is. Thanks, Chair.
Yes, there it is. Honourable Khatib, you want to comment before I go to Advocate Van Merwe?
Honourable Chairperson, I totally agree with the sentiment which was raised by Honourable Susan Van Merwe.
plus the chief director, Neshi Tenzi. Because what is critical here, Chairperson, we know that indigenous knowledge is unique. It will not be the same as the conventional, but what is critical, even if it's unique, it is equal. That one, we cannot deny the fact that that knowledge is equal to any other knowledge in the world. So that's why when we protect it, we have to use the traditional forms of protection, which one of them is the copyright, which is, I can make an example, Chair. We had a long time ago, when Peter Pukota was still a president, we had a national anthem here in South Africa, which was known as the stamp. And then at the same time, the ANC had its own national anthem, that one of Sontonga, to that point, Kosile Africa. But after 1994, whoever was inspired, he took half of the other one, he came with a new South African anthem.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell us that we cannot protect that? Through copyright?
Yeah.
Comrade Chair, we have to do that. Finish and laugh.
Thank you, Chairperson. We're speaking about a number of issues, but I would like to just address the issue of burn on page 32, section 28B, subsection 4C. The benefit-sharing agreement limiting rights. I think we must just make it very clear. And I tried to explain it before when the Honourable Ampersini had the children's book. That author will continue to have the right to sell the book, to make copies of the book. And it is only if we limit that right that we will be contravening burn. So what we are saying here is that anyone who creates a story will have copyright, but you must enter into a benefit-sharing agreement. It must be acknowledged. That's all that we ask. We ask that the indigenous work must be acknowledged. So if you create a story, if you create a song, your copyright will exist as it would have without this bill. But you need to acknowledge where you get the idea from. And that is what C speaks about. So it doesn't interfere with the right to have copyright. It interferes simply with the fact that you can't pretend that it was yours.
No, thanks, Chair. There was another issue of whether things have to be reduced into writing or not. Yes, I'm on page 31. On page 31, the topmost, we say nothing in the sections, blah, blah, blah. Our understanding is that section in the copyright as it stands, they said everything should be reduced into writing. The workshops which we attended through the parliamentary process also told us to say the Berne Convention does not necessarily need that. And then we have the WIPO UNESCO model. We will distribute it again. Unfortunately, the technology failed us, but we'll distribute it again, where it will be shown clearly that the Berne Convention, read together with the WIPO UNESCO model, there are issues that do not even have to be in writing. The issue is that the French and then the Roman Dutch sort of equivalent, they believe too much in the oral, while the English believe too much in writing. So therefore, that's the influence of the ban. So the simple issue is that what we are conferring here is that we should not contravene our international obligations. And then we are conferring the unwritten oral storytelling and the like in this bill. And then what is in the copyright, unless otherwise we have a clause here which says the converse does not apply. So I don't know whether I'm describing the situation well. to say we are still dealing with the copyright, and then the Berne Convention does not need to be contravened, and then we are empowering our community to do storytelling, whether it's reduced in writing or not, then we comply with that, what is it, international treaty. So this is one of the issues that I wanted to talk to, but Van der Merwe, my colleague, and the leader of the working group, sorry, Van der Merwe, yeah, sorry. they have put things succinctly. So I still persuade that the issue of writing, unwritten work and the like should be protected through the WhatCom. But I don't want to go to the issue of the designs because it is not an issue. But I'm just reminding the committee that yesterday we were supposed to have come back on the issue of the design. Well, that will... Thanks.
Hands here from members. If I can just ask... Yeah, right. We've got Honourable Mabasa and Honourable Kotsi.
Thanks, Comrade Chair. Without wasting words, I just want to support in totality what Mr. Nechitenje has just expressed. Thanks.
Kotsi?
Thank you, Chair, I might have missed a lot of issues that were discussed yesterday, but I just want to remind the committee about some of the reasons why this act had to be re-looked at. I just can't remember the name of this medicine, the slimming medium. Yeah, Hoodia. I think people who actually use that and reformed it and are the ones who've got the rights now. And I think South Africans were feeling very strong that where this originated and where these people had somehow ownership were not recognized. And I think it was on those bases that perhaps there was a need to protect. In doing this, I think we must realize that these are some of the reasons why we had to relook at this, because we need to recognize that and protect that knowledge of those people. In this case, I'm talking about the SANS, who actually where this product originated from. And perhaps if we do not protect that, I think we would not be doing what we were supposed to be dealing with in terms of this legislation as protecting that knowledge. I just wanted to raise that.
That's notwithstanding you haven't been able to be with us, a very valuable input. Thank you very much. Members, you know, look, Honourable Harris, you've made some of the points here. There's only one issue that I think we'd agreed upon. We could come back. I think that was the issue that had been flagged initially, or parked, as you put it, Advocate Van der Merwe, to come back a bit later, which there had been a further discussion with experts, etc., and you wanted to just tighten it up. Honourable Harris?
I thought I would just reply to some of those, if I may. Firstly, I think Honourable Kotsi's points about Hoodia is not entirely relevant, because as we know, that case was resolved by a deal between the community and the international companies using that, and at this stage, despite any efforts that we're making to fix the legislation, there has been an appropriate resolution of that case. It's not the reason we're doing this bill is not because of Hoodia, nor is it because of Mbumbe, which is protected under the current copyright Act. So the whole way through this process, there have been many red herrings that have supposedly been justifications for this legislative review. But I'm afraid Hoodia and the lion sleeps tonight are not justifications. The question of requiring a protocol is simply that the fix in the deeming provision require or that deems a community to be a juristic person isn't going to work. It goes some way down the line, but doesn't answer questions such as who's going to speak for that community, who or for that juristic person. We cannot simply say that something is a juristic person without then supporting that juristic person in the rest of our legal processes. I think Ms. Shibangu said yesterday, what if that juristic person then has to sue or is sued? We've started to build the structure, but we haven't got any content in it. We've simply deemed it so, and now we need to go further. My argument, and I presume the arguments of the party, the DA, is that to take that further, you have to, one option would be to require the use of a community protocol. It doesn't have to go into the definition. That's one option to do it. But the suggestion that the community would have to have a protocol in order for rights to vest is one that solves the problem that we've now created with the deeming provision. That's all. And I'm open to other ways that could solve it. But we do need to solve it, because at this point, nobody can answer the question who speaks for the community if they are a so-called juristic person. Secondly, on the definition, I'm afraid I remain unconvinced on the living and extinct and the historical record. Mr. Nechitense put up an argument about the public record, which is all very well, and I happen to totally agree with him, but it doesn't have bearing on the fact that, let's take these cave paintings we've spoken about numerous times. In South African law, the heritage legislation protects them. And the rest is in the public domain. It's free to use as something which comes from a community that no longer exists. Allowing extinct communities to get protection for these works takes something out of the public domain and means that it goes into the ownership of the state, because obviously no one's around in those communities to take ownership. So we're effectively nationalizing something that is in the public domain already, taking it out of the public domain and confiscating it. I think it's out of step if somebody can point me to a similar provision in any other law anywhere in the world, then I may reconsider my position. But I understand that it's totally out of step with the spirit of the public domain as reflected in legislation all around the world, and I still have deep concerns about that. The second point is on the historical record. I don't think we spend enough time in this committee considering nefarious uses of this legislation for people to get benefits that aren't legitimate. Simply requiring historical record, obviously understanding that communities maybe don't have a continuous use of the good, that's fine, but there needs to be some burden of proof to say that this item belongs to my community and I have historical record of its use. Having dropped that historical record requirement, we make it too easy for fraudsters to steal traditional knowledge. That is the only reason I've continued to bring this up. I'm not trying to make it harder for traditional communities. I'm trying to prevent the abuse of these things. And then lastly, I think Advocate Fundamava's suggestion that we recouch this as an indigenous knowledge right is important and correct, because copyright has fundamental aspects, one of them being originality, the other one being the limited term of use that is understood and used all around the world. And I think accepted because it's in continual use. To name these rights, which include rights of remuneration and moral rights, an indigenous knowledge right, doesn't do it any injustice, but simply prevents confusion around the actual term copyright. If you talk about copyright in any legal system, it needs to be original, and the right needs to be limited in some way in terms of time frame. Now, that's not to say that we don't think traditional knowledge can get similar protections. It's just that these aren't copyright protections. for want of a better phrase, indigenous knowledge rights. They are equal in status. They simply don't muddy the waters around the idea of what copyright is. I think we need to get rid of our hang-ups as a committee about that, because nobody's suggesting we water down these rights. We're simply pointing out the fact that as we've structured these rights, they just aren't copyrights. They're very, very similar. They provide as much protection, but they're not copyrights. So, Chair, I think that responds to some of the issues raised.
Thank you, Honourable Harris. I think, all right, Honourable Khadebi, and then we move on.
Honourable Chairperson, I think that the presentation by Professor Ntuli on the onerous expectation or impositions on the community is very difficult. But I think that each and every community, for it to exist, it will have some sort of a protocol. Because for it to exist, there must be some sort of ways which it was established. So I might be sympathetic on the issue of the community protocol, because something must come automatically. For example, in the Shuvi Nation, to become a king, there are certain things which we had to qualify before doing that. Although I'm not going to disclose them, because indigenous, I'm not going to disclose them yet. What must happen first before I can become a king, or even to prove that a child is a Shuvi, there are certain things which must be done. Yeah, it's already established within that community. Each and every community will have its own way of dealing with it. So I must sympathize with the issue of the protocol when coming to this issue of the indigenous community. But when coming to the issue of the nationalization of the knowledge which is already in public and then make it a copyright, but that thing has already happened. Didn't France, Italy take its grappa, which was all over the world, and then decided that it was theirs through geographic indication in the WTO itself. They used the WTO to take something which is already well over. Whatever. They take it and made it only France. This thing is coming from France. This one is coming from Italy. So whoever is going to use it must pay. Whatever. So even in this situation, Chair, we say that, yes, what we want, this thing is original from South Africa. So anyone outside South Africa must pay for it to use it. So it means that the way Honorable Harris is arguing it, that no, because in the public domain it must be free for all. I don't think it's correct. It's defeating the very purpose of this ex-chairperson. And then the issue of Huda Mbube is true. Those guys, in order to get those rights, they had to litigate. They had to go to court. So why burden the other people? Why burden our people, our communities? Because first of all, they don't have money. Because once you start litigating on this thing, go to the High Court. Sometimes when you go to High Court, people like Honorable Albers, they demand 80,000 a day. They'll demand 80,000 a day because they're advocates, eh? Because we have someone who's smaller than one who must instruct and then advocate for exactly. At the end of the day, the cost is 80,000. So let us make the work easier for our communities. Let's legislate so that they're protected automatically. Thank you, Chair.
We need to consider moving on now. We have this opportunity at length with the experts. And I did indicate that I wanted to move on beyond page 37. What we did do is accommodate yourself, Honourable Harris, because there was an exigency that you had which prevented you from being here. And I do want to move on now. So I think you've certainly put your case on the table. The DTI have put a position on the table. Our own advocates, having said little enough right now because much was said before, I think that both the position that you wished to put on the table is here clearly, and not everyone is convinced. Some people may be, yes, indeed, but not everyone. And perhaps it's because we all see things from a different angle, and I think that's really what it's all about. Now, I want to move on from page 37, which is where we were. The nature of copyright in traditional works. 38 is just the addition under E of a literary nature before we go to 39. which is J there from what I can see, causing the traditional work or television or other program which incorporates the traditional work to be transmitted in a diffusion service, unless such service transmits a lawful television broadcast, including the traditional work, and is operated by the original broadcaster. I look back to what the original thing was just there, because it's gone on and on for several points. Copyright on page 37, it said, in a traditional work vests the exclusive right to do or to authorize the doing of any of the following acts in the Republic. Page 37, right at the bottom of the page. It then refers to a whole lot from A until M. Do you see that? And just the one that we were reading was J. That reads, authorize the doing of any of the following vests the exclusive right to do or to authorize the doing of any of the following acts in the Republic, causing under J the traditional work or television or other programs which incorporates the traditional work to be transmitted in the diffusion chat service unless such service transmits a lawful television broadcast, including the traditional work, and is operated by the original broadcaster. We then come for term of protection at the bottom of page 39. Yes, Honourable Smaller?
Just maybe on that point, it's point on 28B, after maybe C, or it might fall under the trust fund. And I'm not sure where it should be fitting in now. If we just listen to the debate, and I'm not going to repeat it about the instinct community and the benefit or the commercial value that will benefit from that, the commercial benefit that might be derived by the trust fund that is going to go into this. Where will this commercial benefit go to now? Because it stays with the National Trust Fund because it takes ownership. But now we've got a commercial value and we've got a benefit. What do we do with this benefit? Do we, DTI could be assisted? Would it go to spread out into the communities, or will it go to the fiscus, the national fiscus, and go into that? Because I need to understand where will this go now.
Didi, do you want to respond to that, please?
Chair, I was just trying to follow exactly the question. I just didn't get it fully.
Something that's now in the public domain, which we have actually taken because of the indigenous knowledge, we have taken it into a commercial value because there are companies or individuals that can derive a commercial value of it. The community doesn't exist anymore. It's extinct. It doesn't exist. So the National Trust Funds manage this cash flow or this commercial value. With the other communities, the commercial value goes back to the communities or to that specific community. In this specific case, the community is extinct. Where does it go? Will we have regulations to say that it's going to be split into proportionally into all the other communities, or will it go into the fiscus, into the national fiscus? I want to understand where will that go in that specific case.
I think it's quite clear that DDG now, right?
Chair, yes, thanks. It is clear. I think Honourable Smile is asking a question that was asked again, I think, in last week. And there is a specific provision relating to that. I just don't have it, but I'm sure that Advocate Fund America can help. That indicates how that, I think it's very broad. I think the benefits or the proceeds of that would be used in the areas that advance indigenous communities. But it is not specifying that it must be specific to that particular community. because it may be that over time the needs of communities differ. You find that it, you know, there's more greater need in another area. So we thought that that was addressed in that particular provision. We can allow the advocate Fanamerve to find that provision.
You addressed it earlier on. It was just that where is it located, in fact. It did not go back to the national fiscus per se. But while Advocate van der Merwe is just locating that, we will continue. We will come back to that as soon as it is located.
Thank you, Jason. I knew it must be in 28I. It was just to find the subsection. Well, first of all, what we have in on page 45, we're dealing with section 28I, and the first one to look at is subsection 4, which says that the trustees of the National Trust shall administer the fund in the prescribed manner and may invest monies received from the commercialization of the National Cultural Experience or Knowledge or otherwise, pending the distribution thereof, A. This is where they might invest. This is one of the things that is allowed to happen. Remember that where the community is extinct, the trust will be the owner, so that income will come to the trust. Then the next section to look at is subsection 5, which indicates there may be sub-funds. So it, depending on where it comes from, it can go into a separate fund. And then subsection 6 indicates where these fees will go into, and there we talk about regulations. If you read the paragraphs, you have A, B, C, D, E, and then shall be National Trust managed and shall be paid in the respective sub-funds to be applied for the benefit of Indigenous communities, provided the Minister may prescribe. Now, prescribe refers to regulations. So there will be regulations talking about administration, commercialization, exploitation, training, the frequency and manner in which payments shall be made to communities, etc. So this is where more or less your administration portion is going to talk to. And we are not specifically stating here to which community it must go, but that is something that will be catered for in the regulations. And where the community is extinct, I think it sort of speaks for itself that that will have to go for the benefit of all Indigenous communities, so that it would go for training, etc.
You've got that there to peruse, Honourable Somali. Page 44 at the bottom, 28I, we had just done that, and we were in fact on 45, page 45. The issues there relating to the National Trust and Fund for Indigenous Knowledge, dealing with that there. We then had page 46. It's an issue that has already been raised by Honourable Ambrosini as well about benefits, etc. Is that a hand up, Honourable Smaller?
Sorry, yes, Chair. I think we were at page 39,
yeah.
And then... I was asking where it should be going, and then
okay.
We were referred to page 45, so we're
okay.
Just skipping from 39 to 45.
All right, page 40. Page 40 then, just at the bottom of the page, the term of protection. The term of copyright conferred on traditional works by the Act shall be in the case of a derivative Indigenous work, referred to in section 28B3A, 50 years from the end of the year in which the work was first communicated to the public with the consent of the authors, or two, the date of the death of the author or all authors, whichever term expires last, and B, Indigenous work referred to in section 28B3B in perpetuity. We then have these general exceptions regarding protection of traditional works, and it indicates that section 12 to 19B shall, with the necessary changes required by the context, apply to Indigenous work, insofar as they can be applied to the specific Indigenous work. to the copyright in a traditional work shall not be infringed by a person if that person, and I think this is what we have been discussing, A, has acquired rights in respect of that work by doing any part of the acts referred to in section 28E prior to the commencement of the Intellectual Property Laws Amendment Act 2010, and continues to perform such act, and save for the obligations contemplated in section 3 and 5, such person. I have a feeling that that's part of the flagging. Is that right, Advocate van der Merwe? I've written flag here. Isn't that part of what you said, park? Right. So we'll just park that for the moment. All right. Just leave that page and go on to page 42. Page 42 then, under 5, if any commercial benefit is derived from any act contemplated in subsection 2 of 4, the person who derives such benefit shall pay a royalty or a benefit, or both such a royalty and a benefit to the author, as set out in section 28H3. There's an addition there under 7B, professional criticism is added. Professional, not simply criticism. G, the making of recordings and other productions of an indigenous cultural expression or knowledge for purposes of their inclusion in an archive, inventory, dissemination for non-commercial cultural heritage, safeguarding purposes and incidental uses. And then we came to royalties and benefits. And it's a point I was making earlier, that this has been raised by Honourable Ambrosini. We did deal with it at length. Yes, let me take Honourable van der Merwe, Advocate van der Merwe first.
Thank you, Chairperson. If I can just take you back on page 42 to subsection 6, we have asked last night if DTI can give us further criteria to include. That was an issue that was not finalized last night.
Ready with that, please.
Chair, we've had a discussion about this, and we've looked at the provision again. We think we can go with the provision. The only thing that we raised in Chair yesterday was whether, in fact, such a provision should be consistently applied to the other areas of IP, not only indigenous knowledge. But I think that is completely outside. It was the issue of consistency just in the approach. If we include the de minimis rule, whether actually it should apply across. But we are comfortable with the provision as it is right now. Thanks.
I take your point there. So what you're saying is you're really conceding sufficient is there. You'll take the draft that we've got. Is that what I understood, DG, on that issue? Right. Mr. Nyetsi Tenzi?
Yes, there was another dimension which Von Braun raised to say the issue of counterfeiting. Because what she was raising is to say allow counterfeiting to happen, say, in the rural areas, like what in China they do. So they may say 2,000 kilometer radius away from Shanghai, as an example. If counterfeiting is happening in those rural outskirts, we are not going to do anything. However, within 10 years, depending on the growing of Shanghai going to the rural areas, if in 10 years' time Shanghai reaches that area, no counterfeit will be allowed. So Von Braun introduced something which, by implication, is saying do we want to say this consistency of saying de minimis rule and the issue of counterfeiting in the rural outskirts, which we should not bother ourselves in the conventional IP. So I'm just clarifying in order to go with the correct mandate. Thanks.
Understood it, but does anyone else want to speak to it? Yes, Honourable Vandermeer.
I thought she was using the way in which people had resolved the counterfeiting thing to help us to, you know, if it was small enough, then it could be ignored. But if it was over a not urban, I didn't understand the urban city thing, but just that some of the work that has been done to prevent counterfeiting could be usefully used by us to craft regulations from this. That's how I understood.
Because when all is said and done, you know, we've got such a difficulty right now with piracy and all forms of counterfeiting. And I'm just wondering about the negative impact, you know, when you allow one little loophole to get in. I'm just afraid that it could be stretched and abused. Yes, DG.
Chair, I think if you look at the notes yesterday, that was exactly our point. We're saying that we don't have a problem with the drafting. However, we need to understand that there may be consequences of it, in a sense that in this case we're allowing that to happen, but are we then saying that that rule must apply everywhere? Because now we've actually put in that exception. So that was just our point, to say the consistent application and also just thinking about the possible consequences of it. Because, yes, it is something that is very gracious if you look at it. We do want those dancers to do that. But as a principle, is it something that you want to apply across? Is it something that we are now encouraging? I think it's just for us to be sure of what we are doing. But if the principle is agreed, that that's the approach that we're taking, we don't have a problem with the drafting, or we think that the drafting does cater appropriately for what needs to happen.
I'm going to just reserve this just towards the end, you know, perhaps after lunch when one has had the opportunity to walk around, a bit clearer in your head on that one. I'm just concerned about the implications and consequences of that. So we just know that was in fact page 42. Was this 6, was it? I'm just looking at the drafters there. And then we move on to royalties and benefits. And I think it was at that point that you had your hand up, Honourable Harris, when I said that this was an issue that was thrashed out, and I know that Honourable Ambrosini did bring back the issue of benefits again.
I thought, I for one was very convinced by his point, which was simply that royalties is an established legal term that includes benefits and is a word for anything that's given in response in exchange for a concession. So I think he's probably the implication of what he was suggesting is that we just tighten it up and return to the word royalties, and I think I would support him in that.
I think if you recall, we had a lot of discussion on this yesterday. And there was no doubt that the legal definition of royalty was broad. There was a view in the committee that seemed to hold that the word benefit would be more accessible. We are drafting accessible legislation here. And it was for that reason we took out peregrinations. There's nothing wrong with the word peregrinations. None at all. Nothing. Some people would very much like to keep it in. But what purpose is it serving if very few people other than lawyers and advocates? And the whole purpose of this law, Indigenous law, is to broaden it to include, Indigenous knowledge. So it was not for a legal issue at all, as I understand my own notes, but rather accessibility and to expand the broad understanding to everyone, make it more accessible. I understood that that was the reason to itch behind the inclusion here. It doesn't detract from it. As for saying it makes one look a little
possibly a little silly internationally. One could argue that a lot of things make one look a little silly internationally, including yodeling in Austria. You know, I just think that it's different cultures, you know, and we need to look at it like that. So there's not a legal issue here. It's rather accessibility, which is the principle. It's, as I understand it, can we leave that one? Yes, Advocate van der Merwe.
Thank you, Chair. Just to add on, we could not find a specific definition for royalty that includes non-monetary payments. And I think that is where an uncertainty is created about royalty, because the argument from the Honourable Ambrosini, he emailed me because I asked so that we can do some research on exactly what his problem was. And to me, it seemed more the converse, in the sense that he was saying that royalties is calculated on anything, non-monetary as well as non-monetary. And I think that is what we agree with that. The problem is that if you talk about royalty, any act that we could find, articles that we could find, case law that we could find, royalty was always used in relation to monetary payments. And even though there could be an argument that it might include non-monetary and that communities can make an agreement with a person for a non-monetary reward, the argument was made that how do we, you know, will a community know that? Because the general term, royalty, is currently used in respect of monetary.
So it's customary law as well, case law, case law, which also has had some bearing on it. Can we move to page 43? There, fine. Page 44. We have, once again, repeatedly, inclusion of these concepts of royalty and benefits again. Under 44, though, 4A, scrutinize the agreement for compliance with intellectual property laws, including this act and the community protocol and the deletion of Indigenous knowledge there. Page 45, I'm not sure why I made a mark further down the page, because I never made any notes other than a line under 4A, on a call or short-term fixed deposit with a registered bank, etc. Did you make a reference to that? Because I see it's in black anyway.
Yes. That related to the Honourable Smiler's question on where, how this fund will use the money.
Was there the use of funds? Page 46, benefits again. Page 47, benefits carried through. Page 48. Should copyright referred to in subsection 1 vest in a representative of an Indigenous community, such copyright shall automatically, upon the death of the last living member of such Indigenous community, transfer to the National Trust. Disputes. We've had disputes before, very much the same point being carried through. We then have appeals in green, page 49, 6. Any party to proceedings before an institution referred to in subsection 1 may appeal against any decision of such institution, and the appeal must be noted and handled in the manner prescribed by law for appeals against a civil order or decision by a single judge. Under 7, we say the minister shall prescribe fees, processes, and formalities relating to the institution and adjudicating of a dispute. The National Council for Indigenous Knowledge then. Page 50, we proceed on point 4, which was before, appointing any person referred to in subsection 2, the minister must, and it goes on to be specify a person within which nominations must be submitted. And C, consider all nominations before making an appointment. We spent a lot of time on that at the beginning. We come down to Roman numeral 1 at the bottom, B. The council shall, it mentions about, be broadly representative of indigenous communities, etc. And B, at all times have as members at least two persons with expertise and extensive knowledge in and patronage of traditional cultures and values of indigenous communities. Two, at least two persons with expertise and extensive knowledge in patronage, etc., of traditional artistic, literary, musical works and performing arts. And three, again, the expertise, etc., in law and so on, and the numbering consequential thereof. Page 52. Right. 13, when the minister resolves the council in terms of subsection 12, the interim body, 14, 15, the functions of council, inclusion again now, here, of cultural expressions of knowledge, B, again that inclusion, and carried throughout to E, and finally to F, page 53, if, refer any dispute received to an institution contemplated in section 28K1 and. The rest we agreed to some time ago. Page 54, carrying through concept of cultural expressions or knowledge relating to performers' rights, copyright, trademarks, designs, and patents. Then we have the compliance with international agreements. And I've written here with respect to the green, to make applicable to traditional work. Is that what was, I think, referred to there? So we had the deletions there to begin with, and then under 1, 28N1, the minister may by notice in the Gazette provide that any provision of this Act specified in the notice shall in the case of any country so specified apply so that. And then we have that very much the same as 55. We come to the concept of juristic persons under C. Juristic persons incorporated under the laws of the specified country and representing indigenous communities of that country. The reference further on down to 4, about where the notices shall be issued under this section in respect of any country which is not a party to a convention relating to copyright to which the Republic is a party, unless the minister is satisfied that in respect of the class of works to which the notice relates, provision has been or will be made under the laws of that country, whereby adequate protection will be given to the owners of copyright in, and that was a semantic or just a slip there, traditional works under this Act. 56 remained the same, 57. A lot of this is just, in fact, ensuring the continuity of those principles of indigenous cultural expressions and knowledge. We're coming down to CD, towards the bottom of the page, providing for the fees, processes, and formalities related to the submission and adjudication of a dispute as already set out in 28K. And then at the bottom here, we move to page 58 at the top, the guidelines, what the minister may do, the issue guidelines on any aspect of Intellectual Property Laws Amendment Act, including the protection of indigenous cultural expressions or knowledge, reducing traditional work that is eligible for copyright, etc.
etc. A couple of cleanups there in respect of the plural. We move to page 59. The bottom of, there is a deletion there, in the middle of the page in respect of collecting society, which is one already agreed on with respect to Copyright Act. And then page 60. Page, Advocate Vandermeer.
Apologies, Chair. If I can take you back to on page 59, the definition of collecting society. This one slipped through when I added benefits. Subsection B and subsection C should have after collects license fee also the words and benefits on behalf of its members. And the same in C, distributes license fees and benefits to trademark owners.
Page 59. C. 8C. Right. 60. Okay. 60. We then come to C at the bottom there. There's the usual deletion under the Copyright Act there, bringing it into line. The same further down under D. 61. The deed of security, the following definition, the derivative indigenous term or expression, and I'll just read that, means any term or expression forming the subject of the fact applied to any form of indigenous term or expression recognized by an indigenous community as having an indigenous or traditional origin and a substantial part which was derived from an indigenous cultural expression or knowledge. Irrespective of whether such derivative indigenous term or expression or knowledge was derived before or after the commencement of this Act. We then go down to F, the geographical indication here. Just a clean up then on the grammar. Page 62. Indigenous community means any recognizable community of people originated in or historically settled in a geographic area or areas. We've tackled that before. Located within the borders of the Republic as such borders existed. We've been through that one before. Indigenous cultural expression or knowledge. It's replication again. Right, including right at the bottom with the changes there that we agreed to in principle. Page 63. The National Trust, H, traditional term or expression includes an indigenous term or expression and a derivative indigenous term or expression or knowledge. Page 64, certification trademarks and collective trademarks. 2. Nothing in the sections contemplated in subsection 1 shall be construed as conferring any rights to any person in respect of intellectual property which is not a traditional term or expression. Been through that before. Page 65. We've put this just an extra thing here which we looked at yesterday. No right under 6 in respect of a derivative indigenous term or expression or knowledge provided for in the Intellectual Property Laws Amendment Act shall be eligible for registration unless prior informed consent has been obtained from the relevant authority or indigenous community. Page 66. I've written here what? Community Protocol for Community Interaction. That's the green there. 7. If an indigenous community has established a community protocol, the interaction with the indigenous community contemplated in subsection 6 must take such protocol into account. As if they've got one there. Page 67. 102 copyright cleanups there.
page 68. Community deemed to be a juristic person. I think we've already flagged that, haven't we, Advocate van der Merwe, about the juristic person issue, or not? Was that just a comment?
It was just a comment on that.
Right, page 69. Just a couple of numerical cleanups there. 70, page 70, for continuing with these numerical cleanups there, the numbering. Page 71, bringing Copyright Act back into line with how we've done it before. Page 72, once again, largely numerical numbers here. Cleaning that one up. Term of protection under 73. I've written here. Infringement of a traditional mark exceptions, license fees, and benefits. So that was that inclusion there of benefits. Just bringing it into alignment with what we've done. 43F at the bottom of the page. Again, the reference to a license fee, 43D. A benefit or both such royalty and benefit. We've already referred to that earlier on in the bill. And then this one here, page 74, there's a deletion. There is a change here. Let's see two. Any person who has acquired rights as contemplated in subsection 1 must comply with subsections 43B, 6B, and C within 12 months of the commencement of the Intellectual Property Laws Amendment Act 2010, provided that A, that's kept, it's just the numbering there. Why would I have said flagging here? Did you ask us to park that one, Advocate?
Yes, Chair. Subsection 2B, this deals with the rights of someone at the moment, and that's the issue that I requested to park.
75, benefits and royalties again. We move down to page 75 on to 76. Page 76 here. Once again, the inclusion. You see, it talks about on 7 here, and from the requirement to pay royalties and benefits. Again, it's what has been contemplated before. We go down to the bottom of the page and move to page 77, National Trust and Fund. The National Trust and the Fund shall constitute and function as a National Trust and Fund in respect of and for traditional terms and expressions and geographical indications for the purposes of this Act, and the provisions of the said section 28, I shall with necessary changes apply. All monies payable in respect of the use of an indigenous term or expression or geographical indication registered under this Act and owned by the National Trust shall be paid into the funds contemplated in subsection 1 and shall be applied for the benefit of indigenous communities in the manner prescribed in Section 28II of the Copyright Act. Assignment and licenses, 43H. Save 4, an assignment of an indigenous term or expression or geographical indications to a collecting society, or B, transfer to a duly appointed representative of the community the certification or collective trademark in an indigenous term or expression of geographical indications shall not be transmissible by assignment, testamentary disposition, or operation of law, but the doing of any act may be licensed. And then it indicates this. This is something we went to at length, you will recall. Disputes 43I, 1 and 2, page 79.
just a bit of numbering there. But as we get to point 5 here, any party, or rather point 6, any party to proceedings before an institution referred to in subsection 1 may appeal against any decision of such an institution, and the appeal must be noted. We've seen this and heard it before and dealt with it and handled in the manner prescribed by law for appeals against a civil order or decision of a single judge. 80, compliance with international agreements again, the deletion there until 1. This is just carried through. Got a question here for some reason. The minister may by notice in the Gazette provide that the provision of this act specified in the notice shall in the case of any country so specified apply so that. Did you make any remark there, please, Advocate van der Merwe, because I put the word question.
Chairperson, this simply it is a repeat of Section 37 of the Copyright Act. Yes.
The replication there. Page 81. That again, we've dealt with that already. Page 82. Again, we've dealt with the issues raised there. 83. Cleanups following. Page 84. Community protocol again. B, the copyright at the bottom of the page. And 85, the database. That's what it means. Design. By the insertion of subsection under E, that is, one of the, after the definition of date of application of the following definition. Derivative indigenous design means any aesthetic or functional design forming the subject of this act applied to any form of indigenous design recognized by an indigenous community as having an indigenous or traditional origin and a substantial part of which was derived from an indigenous cultural expression or knowledge, irrespective of whether such derivative indigenous design was derived before or after the commencement of the act, etc., provided that. We had a discussion at length on this issue yesterday, you will recall. Honourable van der Merwe?
Yeah, this is the point at which we asked the DTI to give us, to apply their minds a little bit, and I'm sure they have, because remember we said, could you register a design as both aesthetic and functional, or would you just take the aesthetic one, which has the higher value of years, you know, has a higher threshold and longer time period? So I'm sure they have now.
If I may, with your permission, Madam Chair, I'm glad we're dealing with this one before we get to the last flag provisions, which I'm beginning to perceive, the more I read those provisions, almost as an indictment against my own intellectual capacity. And I'm saying that in all sincerity. But we're not there yet. We will deal with them possibly after lunch, and hopefully the picture will be a little bit more vivid when we get to that. But on this one, I think yesterday a very simple question was put to us. I think it was initially raised by the Honourable Mr. Harris. As to if we read the definitions as they currently now stand in the bill, we will see that three designs are possible, really. The one is what we can call the existing designs in terms of the current law, and then the new ones, the indigenous design and the derivative indigenous design. If we read all those definitions, we will see that the bill clearly provides for those to be either aesthetic or functional designs. So on that basis, the simple question was put, is it possible for the same thing to be registered both in the register for functional designs and in the register for aesthetic designs? We discussed amongst ourselves this morning, and we also had a telephone conversation with an official in Pretoria dealing with the practicalities of this matter. I hope the answer is equally simple. And please allow me to relate to something that we just about on a daily basis use. A teaspoon. A teaspoon is functional merely on the basis that we take the sugar and we put it in the cup of tea. However, that very same teaspoon might at the end of the handle have maybe some kind of golden inset, which clearly gives an aesthetic quality to the eye in respect of that very same spoon. Our colleague in Pretoria this morning was referring to the beautification of the teaspoon. So I think we can clearly see those two characteristics. The one purely functional, the other one purely aesthetic, but they are to be found in the very same single thing. The answer is that the proprietor of that teaspoon can register the aesthetic part of the teaspoon in the aesthetic register only. And he or she can register the functional part of that teaspoon in the functional register only. But it's important to point out that those two registers, they must be separate. The reason simply being that the requirements to be met for functional and for aesthetic are different. I think my colleague McDonald yesterday referred to the one is 3 and the other one is 5. So the next question, the answer to that is no. That teaspoon and its aesthetic qualities and functional qualities can never be registered in the single same register because of the requirements being different. I hope we can discuss, but I hope that would settle this matter. Another example is, for instance, if we have a look at a Coke bottle, it is just that single object. But in there's a trade secret, there's a trademark, there's a patent. They all relate to the very same bottle, but those various qualities will be registered in the separate registers. We cannot combine them, because the moment we combine them, it would almost become like a hybrid kind of intellectual product, and there is simply no provision for that. I hope this is clear, Madam Chair, and I hope when we get later on to the other issues that eventually we will get them clear as well.
I think the logic behind it to me is quite clear. I don't think there's any disagreement here as we move on. Page 86 then, we move to the bottom of that one. We've already discussed the issue of borders, page 87. We've discussed this issue of expressions of spirituality, religion, etc., the green there, the expressions, page 88. Indigenous design, we've just been looking at some of these points. G, is that G at the bottom there? The National Trust. 89. Traditional design includes an indigenous design and a derivative indigenous design. 90, page. Yeah? Was your hand up, Honourable Salam? No, you'll have a break in 5 minutes. 90. So have I, yeah, so we all got to go. Okay, page 91. The bottom there,
that's all the same there. Page 92. Again, I've noted something here, the deeming provisions, as you see, I think it was that green, is that right, Advocate van der Merwe, under 4. Okay, and then as we move to page 93, 94, these are just numbering points here, changes in numbering 96. That's what we've just been looking at, aesthetic and the 15 years and the, I don't know, the 5 years, 10 years and 10 and 15 carried through there. 97, the reference again to change 6 months to 12 months at the bottom of the page. 98, flagged, the top of the page. That's flagged, that green up there. 99, the issue of royalties and benefits again. 100. A 101, disputes are tackled on that page again. 102, the appeal issue referred to in green. 103, repeat, what? Of copyright, whatever, provisions, yeah, 53K, hence the deletion there, and then the ticking under 1, the minister may by notice again, we've done that one, that provision. 1 and 4, juristic persons are referred to there on page 104, and 105, once again, the reference to the, or rather the inclusion of the fees here under FA, and then guidelines for this section. 106, repetition there, the National Trust and Fund, and then the short title and commencement. And then the memorandum itself. Yes. Now, in terms of that memorandum, I had a note here. Let me just see why. I think it must have been corrected then. Yeah. All right. Honourable Harris, just as we draw the session to a close.
I must just register something in the memorandum. But before I do that, can I request that when this is done, can you just update us on the status of whatever meeting we might have tomorrow?
Anxious, and it's difficult to say until we just get back a little bit this afternoon. I want to discuss it with the secretary as well, if you don't mind. The whole point is Thursday is purely an exigency. I'm sure you realize that. And I see we have a very long day today. And so I have no doubt that we will be able to get through our work. But I've had to put that in. We can cancel. It's so easy to cancel. It's very difficult to reinstate because there are certain provisions that you have to comply with. So if you don't mind, I just want to get through until about 3 o'clock, and then I can certainly confirm that in the, you know, 2:30 or so, if you don't mind. I do need to consult with the staff up here and with the drafters as well. So at this point, I've also just consulted with yourself, Mr. Hermans, in respect of the House. You know, because I have a motion here, and I may be able to give to someone, of course.
But we have permission to sit.
Yes, now I understand, but what time are the motions on the schedule?
It doesn't indicate the time. I've asked him to just double-check with us, because I can't get access to the table at the moment. So
all right, okay, let's leave that one alone. Someone's Honourable Harris?
Yeah,
yeah, the other day they were locked. That's why I'm asking.
I must just at this point state that we believe the biggest single threat to this bill is contained in the final clause of the memo. Yeah, where the typo, the alleged typo, was corrected, which seemed to express that this bill needs to go to the National House of Traditional Leaders in terms of Traditional Leadership and Governance Framework Act. We still believe that in terms of that act, it does, and that in fact the typo wasn't a typo, but actually good judgment. Chair, the implication of correcting the alleged typo is that this bill can be challenged, we think, on pretty strong grounds. And page 112. And so it's the DA's position that we need to refer this bill when we're done to the National House of Traditional Leaders.
But I see here when you say there's a typo, there's no correction. That's why I'm just a bit puzzled, Honourable Harris.
See, a correction. The word "not" in the first line is actually blue.
Yes, sir. Oh, well, as I say, my eyesight's really getting bad. It all looked very black to me. My apologies. Yes, it is blue. Sorry about that. I see. That's the typo that has been referred to. Can we bring that back at 2:30, please? I think you were saying 2:30 to me. But just a minute before I absolutely adjourn, I'm just a bit concerned because the other day the motions came off. Yesterday, was it, or something? We had the motions last. Oh, so but normally they are first, are they not? Yes, okay. So I think if we can meet at 2:30, is that all right? Well, we actually don't have to. We are excused from the House as a committee. Okay, so that's already been processed. But I'm saying, we will adjourn until 2:30. I see it's 1:30. What time does the House meet? It's 2:00 today. 2:00. Yes.
It's 2:00 today.
Today it's 2:00. You know, a lot of things are changing. A variation on a theme. Thanks. Herman's will. Can we leave it like that? We did get permission. The permission is not something given easily. Thank you. I hope so.